Genesis chapter 5. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord bringing us safely here today and doing a great work for our hearts and lives by allowing us to be in the house of God. As we look in the Word of God in Galatians chapter 5, while you turn in your Bibles, the theme of this chapter is the fact that the difference Christ makes. The key verse, of course, is verse 7. He did say this, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" I don't care who you are and how saved you are, you can be hindered. The devil will make inroads in your life through people just talking to you. He'll build a stronghold in your ear that'll lead to a stronghold in your mind. He'll start trying to take things back inch by inch, and you got to be very careful about who you listen to, who you rounds. We saw that in these last few verses. As we look today, we're looking at about the freedom and salvation in verses 1 through 12, and we pick up in verse 13, where we're going to read down to verse number 15. We get in the failure of sin. You will never be a success as a Christian following sin. There'll always be failure in that sin. Some people can never get away with it, and Christians are those people. The Bible says in verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." You and I have not been called to the playground, we've been called to the battleground. Amen. We fight the devil. He is our enemy. The Bible said our enemy is not flesh and blood, but principalities, the spirits of darkness and all that. We realize that we're in a war. The Bible tells us about being good soldiers in God's war. But as we look today, I want to give you something that will help you today. These are the words of war. And these words are the war we're waging. Have you ever thought about that when people head into a war, if they don't believe they can win it, they've already lost headed into that battlefield? You got to go in knowing you can win. You got to believe in that thing. And as we look in Galatians chapter 5, they want to show you these terms that explain the war we're in as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you today, and God, we thank you, Lord, for the time to be here and be alive. Lord, we don't deserve a thing you've done for us, but God, you've given us everything. You've allowed us to walk on your planet, breathe your air, and occupy your time while we're here. And Father, I pray, God, that you'll move on our hearts and lives and help us to follow you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit of God that seals our never-dying souls. I pray, Lord God, that you'll help me today, God, as I preach, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. And I pray, God, today for our congregation and folks listening today, God, Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, thou may behold wondrous things out of thy law." James chapter 1, verse 22, help us, Lord God, to be what that verse says, to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And Lord, we pray for your power and your anointing on all this. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look today at these terms that explain the war we're in, they're all in verse 13 through 15. And these terms describe these verses. The first term, if you look at verse 13, is the term received. Received. That's a word of our war. You'll notice verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." We've received that already. We're not looking to gain liberty. We already have liberty. I hear so many people say, "Well, I didn't have liberty at such and such." You had to have. You brought liberty with you. And listen, to the born again child of God, when you go to church, they may be a tightness, they may be an oppression, there may be something going on, but you bring liberty to that service when you walk in if you saved. For preachers to tell me I didn't have liberty to preach there, I do. I can get plenty of liberty. You know why? Liberty's inside in the person of the Lord. It's all on Him. He's liberty. I've already received that, not looking to find it. Already got it. Thank God. And because we know that liberty's there, it's received. And he says there about this thing, about use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What I find out about that word received and about that liberty, it is liberty, not lazy. Amen. Different L word. Spelled different, everything. Liberty means you, listen, what liberty is in the Bible when God brings that term up is that we would have in our past when we were lost, we would have loved to follow God. We'd love to have been part of the congregation. We'd love to have been able to sing the songs. We'd love to have been able to preach the message and say amen and all those things. We'd love to have been part of that, but we didn't have liberty to do that. We couldn't follow Him. God set us free from the clutches of sin and Satan and self, and now we have liberty to follow God. But He warns us about this thing. He said about what you've received. Here's a warning about that received. He said, use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. That flesh, listen, unlike your soul, it's still as lost as the day you started. It still loves sin and hates God just like the day before you got saved. Your soul saved and your flesh is lost. Your flesh, listen, the state your flesh is in right now, the reason the rapture plainly states in 1 Corinthians 15 that this corruption must put on incorruption because that flesh has not yet arrived and it won't arrive until we are resurrected from the dead. As we think about being resurrected from the dead, there's a reason why that picture's there for us in the Bible, why God tells us that. Paul said it this way, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You can pamper it, you can dress it up, you can try to color it, you can try to discolor it, you can try to dye hair, undye hair, shave your head, whatever you want to do. You're still the same flesh. That hasn't changed. You can take a drunk and tell him to quit drinking and put a suit on him and bring him to church, he's still a drunk. When somebody gets born again, God changes them on the inside. They're not a recovering alcoholic. They're a saved alcoholic. They're no longer in that stuff or a drug addict or whatever. God saves them and changes them. And what happens then is when they come in like that thing and they've gotten saved, you know what the difference is and what the difference Christ makes is? They have liberty to follow God and they're not held back anymore by that. But don't use your liberty as an occasion of flesh. It's liberty, not lazy. And we also know it's liberty, not lust. L-I-B-E-R-T-Y-L-U-S-T, two different words. Here's the difference. In lust, you know what you do? In lust, you have these things in your mind. You say, I could fulfill that, and this, that, and other. Somebody shows you a little attention, things like that. You do not have liberty. That's an occasion to the flesh. That's not liberty. Don't use that liberty as an occasion of flesh and ruin your testimony. Don't use that liberty as an occasion of your flesh and point out, well, such and such sins, I'm doing this sin, and justify it to yourself that way. Hey, he said, don't use it as an occasion of the flesh. That's what the flesh will do. You know what, Christian, I'm going to tell you something. You can walk with Jesus Christ as best you can, and you're still going to fall short somewhere. The Bible plainly says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me give you an example of you. Let's say you're walking with Jesus Christ. You're walking in the fullness of God. You're walking in the power of the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit of God. There's still going to be one or two things off about you because you're just not perfect. And every one of them's in your flesh. Somebody who is looking to seek occasion to the flesh, you know what they're going to do? They're going to look at your one little thing they can find and go do 100 things because they find one wrong with you. So if you knowingly do something, hey, listen, that's just the stuff you don't even realize you've done. But why give an occasion to the flesh like that when we can say no to that thing and follow the Lord? Hey, lust will take you places you didn't think you'd go. And you'll think you've had the liberty to do it because God didn't kill you to do it, so you think you've got something. No, you've got liberty, but don't use it for an occasion to the flesh. I look at this thing about receiving that liberty, and it is called liberty, not filthy lucre. If you look up the word filthy lucre in the Bible, filthy lucre is like gain and money or goods, and it's always in an ill sense, or it's bad goods or something worthless you sell for a lot of money. And that filthy lucre is given 5 times in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, and then that at verse number 8, Titus chapter 1, verse 7, verse 11, and 1 Peter 5, 2. And every instance that thing deals with preachers, except one time it deals with deacons. Now listen to me. If we have liberty, not filthy lucre, we don't need to come in the house of God trying to sell worthless things to people to make money off of them to please our flesh. Yeah. Right. Are you with me? We've got liberty, but we don't want to use it as an occasion of the flesh. We don't want to be lazy, full of lust, or full of filthy lucre. And the reason being is there's a lot of things that will slip in that people will try to justify to themselves that they're doing for a good cause, and it's not a good cause. Do you notice back during Christmas, we didn't have a guy out here ringing the bell going, "Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas, everybody! Merry Christmas!" You know why? That outfit ain't what they say they are. They've fallen a long way from General William Booth that started it, that came out of the Methodist Church, and it was called the Salvation Army for a reason. They went out and preached the gospel trying to win people to Christ, and they used their little band they'd take out, beating on them drums and piping them horns and everything and marching around to get people's attention and say, "Hey, we got a message to preach to you." That ain't the way it's run anymore. I see people come all the time. They say, "We're doing this for a good cause. Don't you want to donate to our good cause?" And I tell them it's not got the right Bible on it. I can't go with something that goes against the Bible and goes to some perversion of the Bible. Well, that verse is right, ain't it? Listen, let me tell you something. If you were to tell me that you had some rat poison, you poured it in my biscuit, but it was only in part of it, that the biscuit would still be okay, I wouldn't believe you, because I know this. We just learned a little leaven leaven of the whole lump, and that works the same way with poison, too. You put a little poison in it, it's all poison. Amen, friend. We've received liberty, but not to use for filthy lucre. And by pointing that out, let me point something out to you. Since people have started correcting the Bible, they all do it for one reason. I personally think this. I don't believe it's because they're satanic and they're filled of a spirit of the devil, although some might be. I don't believe it's because they think they're God, although some may act like it. But I believe it's where they took liberty and now they're using it for filthy lucre, and they all make money off of it. Out of all this stuff I hear about King James and all this stuff, let me tell you something about them translators that work for the thing. He didn't tell them anything to put in the Bible. Plus, they never received not one cent for their work for the whole 7 years they worked on it. I wonder if the rest of them editorial boards can say that. No, that's their job. They started off in this one. When they got through with that one, they started planning the next one. They got through with that one. They started planning the next one. And you'll find out it's like watching one of those TV shows where they remake a TV show. You see the same characters showing up over and over. Same thing. They've used liberty for an occasion of the flesh. They've got that filthy lucre in there, and they're making money by some ill-gotten gains. By the way, this book don't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. It doesn't need to be corrected. It needs to be practiced. It doesn't need to be retranslated. It needs to be preached. Amen. Notice this thing here. We're talking about terms of our war. We've received something. What we've received in our war is this. We have received liberty. Verse 14 says, For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, we've got the term receive because we've received something. We've received liberty. Now we can follow God. We've received our marching orders, and now we can follow God. But I want to say this also, if you'll notice this, we've also got this word. He said this thing can be summed up in one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know what this word is? Believed. Past tense, we believe it. I wonder sometimes that when people they ask this question, do you believe the Bible? When I was being ordained 22 years ago, we had an old man in here that had been pastoring for 47 years. His only question to me is, "Son, do you believe the Bible?" I said, "Yes, sir, I believe the Bible." He said, "Do you believe in the Bible when it says God created this world? He created this world." I said, "I believe it." He said, "Do you believe when the Bible said Noah got drunk? He got drunk." I said, "As I saw it." He said, "Do you believe when God said that he gave them commandments over there, he gave them and all that?" I said, "I believe it." He said, "Let's ordain this man. If he believes the Bible, he'll be fine." Amen. You know what question I like to ask now? Do you believe the Bible? You know, I like to ask Christian people, do you believe the Bible? Because if you believe the Bible and it's believed, you have everything you'll ever need to overcome your enemy, the devil. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." No wonder they like to take part of the Bible away from us. No wonder they want to take a little verse here, a whole Old Testament there, or something like that. Because if they take away one part of this, they've got us. Here's the word, believed. What do we believe? We believe the Bible. So how do you know you believe the Bible? By answering this question, do you practice the Bible? See, your behavior is your belief. Not what you say you believe, how you act. That's your belief. Listen, I found out something a long time ago. That people that say one thing on Sunday and act one thing on Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, those people are a dime a dozen across this world. If I could buy them for what they is worth and sell them for what they think they're worth, I'd be more richer than our current president-elect. People hold a lot of value on themselves, but they've never realized one thing about it, and that's this thing right here. Do you practice the Bible? I'm not asking you to go out and find you a bull, cut its throat, put it on the altar, find you a priest and all that. But do you believe the Bible? Because if you believe the Bible, you got to admit to yourself that there's something changed between that Old Testament and New Testament. Something changed. And listen, we find out that God no longer requires those sacrifices. Why not? Because a lamb came. And that was the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. We believe that. We practice that. We believe that Jesus Christ is that Lamb. We've accepted Him as our Savior. We believed Him. Amen. We see also, as we think about that thing, if we could prove that we practice the Bible, we can prove it in one word. And that word is this word, fulfill. Fulfill. Hold your place here at Galatians 5. Look at Matthew chapter 5. That word fulfilled right there. In Galatians 5, we're looking at Matthew chapter 5. I want to show you this. That one word that you can prove it in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Here's how we do it right here. Matthew chapter 5. Look down at verse number 17. The Bible says this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. He says in verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. If we know that this book has fulfilled prophecy in it, we know that it's already going, that the prophecy it's given this yet future is going to come to pass. You see, if you go around, you go to checking with Muslim prophecy, you find that they strike out. Muhammad couldn't hit it. Gandhi missed it. Buddha missed it. The Pope missed it. But Jesus Christ hit it every time. There are so many prophecies of Him in the Old Testament. When He shows up, born of a virgin, lives a sinless life, and dies on the cross, to have that happen mathematically, there's not a number big enough to describe the odds of it. But yet it all happened. Why did it happen? Because He said it would. Yep. Believed. We believed it. When we get over to the New Testament, He says this, I am coming again. You know what He's going to do? He's coming again. When somebody says, oh, there's no such thing as the rapture, He said that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. That blessed hope is the rapture. That called up in 1 Thessalonians 4 is the rapture. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, come up hither is the rapture. He's coming again because He prophesied it. He's going to do it. Believed. I believe Him. Don't you believe Him today? Right. He's still able to do all that. Look over at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. That one word, fulfill. Romans 13. As you look in Romans chapter 13, look down at verse 17 or 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Here's the word, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. To do what with it? Fulfill. Why do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh? Because we don't want to walk around not doing what we're supposed to. We want to follow Jesus Christ. We've been given liberty. And because we're given liberty, we receive that liberty. We believe what the Bible says. And the Bible said we need to fulfill something. That thing's fulfilled. If you want to fulfill the lust thereof, you'll find out something. That's a dead-end road every time you turn down it. Amen. If you look over in Galatians chapter 5, where we're at right now, twice in this chapter, He warns us about that word with the word fulfill. Galatians chapter 5, down in verse 16, the Bible says this. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's a danger that the wrong thing will get filled up. And He says down here in verse Number chapter 6, look at verse 2. He said, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're to fulfill, listen, we're to fulfill what he said for us to do. We love him because he first loved us. We are following him because he leads us. He loves us. We love him. We follow him. What are we here to do? Bear one another's burdens. Not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that thing, he said about that verse 14, "For all the law is what? Fulfilled." And what thing? "Thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself." This is the very thing that secular humanists would like everybody to do, but they don't want to go through the right channels to get it done. Can you hear Rodney King saying, "Can't we all just get along?" No, we can't. Here's why. To do this, you've got to have God Almighty living inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed from the place called hell, and changed by our Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. Until you get to that point, you'll never love somebody as you love yourself. You'll always love yourself more. It's all about me. That's what your flesh says. Don't fulfill them lusts thereof. It's kind of like this. You know how you fuss about them kids at Walmart? How they never get told no and all this other stuff. You don't tell you no, so what right you got to tell that parent they ain't telling a kid no? I know, no's such a negative word, ain't it? You better learn how to say it to yourself, because if not, you keep winding up fulfilling the lust thereof, and the further away you get from the Lord with that thing. Received, believed. Look at verse 15 down here. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." We got the term receive. We receive liberty. We believe the word of God. We're going to follow the Lord. But then there's a word for verse 15 that could describe our war, and that's the word deceived. He says there, if you bite and devour one another. Well, if I read that and I thought, man, if I knew somebody was biting on me, I would find some way to make you quit doing that. That would hurt, wouldn't it? I mean, can you imagine somebody coming up, getting a chunk of you? I couldn't imagine that. I found out a way to make it stop. My late mother-in-law told me, said she taught me how to make my kids quit biting and stuff like that, because she taught one of her nephews that. You bite them back.
That's right.
Works every time. I said, "Man, that hurts. That hurts you when I do that?" "Yeah, that's why I done it back to you." And I thought, man, especially bite somebody false teeth, you don't feel a thing. But listen to me. He's not talking about biting people physically. He's talking about backbiting them. If you bite and devour one another, what happens? This word, deceived. You know what the armies of this world, they have certain calls they put out. Like if you're in the U.S. Cavalry back in the days of the West and all that, they had the cavalry would come out and stuff like that. They always had a bugler out there. When they went to bed at night, he blew a certain tune. That meant we're going to sleep. When it's time to get up that morning, he blew a certain tune. That'd wake them up. When it come time to charge in the battle, when the commander gave the command to charge, he gave it to the bugler. He played that thing out, and the whole company heard it and knew it's time to go forward. There also come a time that when it's time to back up from a battle, there's a retreat call as well. And most armies practice this. In World War I and World War II, our army still had these things. And you know what some of these people did to us? They found out what our cause was on those things. They sent spies into our camp, and they took some traitors, and they found out what we were doing with that. And they decided that what they would do is, they would approach our army and have a guy over to the side blow their retreat thing. And as we backed up, they'd kill us from behind. But if you bite and devour one another, he said, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Now watch this. If I ask you this, I don't want any hands to raise, but are you causing problems in this church? So I would never do that. Are you blowing our retreat call in the middle of a battle? Because if you are, I'm going to take the advice of the late Dr. John Waters. You know what it is? If I'm building the wall with bricks and you're taking bricks down, I'm going to turn around and ask you to stop taking them bricks off the wall, please. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. What's our primary job? Get the gospel out. Worship the Lord. Preach the word of God. If you're tearing away from these things, please stop. We're trying to get missionaries on the field from our church to get them out there where they can preach the gospel to lost people, no matter who they are. If you're interfering with our missions program, please stop. If you don't like our missionaries, please shut up. They're at least putting their whole life out there trying to do something for God while you sit in the comfort of your own home. And if you don't like me, God help you. I don't know why you wouldn't, but if you don't, please stop. Please stop. See, listen, you say no, I'm not causing any problems like that yet, but you're feasting on everybody else here. You're having victory stew. So what is that? That's where you bite and devour everybody and fault find everybody at this church. You know what you'll eventually do? You'll run out of people to chew on, you'll start devouring yourself, and then it'll start showing in your walk with the Lord. Yep. That's what happens. See, when we bring somebody here to preach, they're not in here to make fun of. They're not in here for you to criticize. Listen, if I thought they was perfect, I wouldn't bring them here anyway. But when I have a revival meeting or something, for good or bad, I pray about who the Lord would have us to have. And when I bring them in here, they're not up for your criticism, your scrutiny. They're here to bring a message God gave them to give you. Wouldn't it be something that if you acted like some of the people I've seen in restaurants over the years, where all you do is sit around and, look, take that back. Good Lord, where's my pineapple at? I ain't paying for that and all that other garbage. What is that what you acting like? Be careful. Hey, listen, you ever heard that term, biting the hand that feeds you? That's what you're doing. If you look around this church, I found out something. And if you take a good look around this church, I found out something. We have not been blessed with perfect people. I know other churches are. God help them. I know they're perfect. They tie their tie exactly right. They wear their dresses the right length. And on and on and on and on and on. We don't. And when we start biting on each other for how we dress or how we act or how we do, guess what we do? We're starting to devour ourselves. Let me ask you this. If somebody was biting on you, like I said, you said that would be bad that you'd ask them to quit like I would, right? How about if he was biting on you? Now, I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to believe, but it is hard to bite yourself. The only time you've ever bitten yourself, I'm going to tell you what it was. You bit your tongue while you was eating, you pig. Oh. He called me a pig. Quit it. Start acting like a sheep. We won't call you a pig. Amen. But listen to me. All seriousness. You can't bite yourself because you'll always feel the pain and let go. So how much more is it that when you start biting them, when the body of Christ starts biting itself, how is it we carry through with that thing so easy? You know what it is? You're deceived. You're flat deceived. How can they do that thing, you say? Well, if you're biting yourself, there must be something false in the midst because you're not feeling that bite when you're pressing down on it. There's something wrong. Have you lost feeling in some places? You can bite them and it's like biting somebody else? Is that what's happening? Have you lost feeling for these preachers and these people in church that's not perfect? Have you lost feeling for them because now you can't sympathize with them and all you want to do is criticize them and tear them down and everything? Be careful if you're biting one another. Be careful about that. He said, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Because guess what? While you biting on them, somebody's biting on you. It's like Pac-Man Christian. All the time going. Look at this. You will eat yourself alive and them too. And the way you'll know this thing is this. The tears about sin will dry up. Sin will not break your heart. I know that a lot of people, they just want to see people get saved that's close to them and they could care less about the rest of the world. Your tears have dried up for the sin of the world. You know what's sad? It's sad to see people get up and say, I'm glad such and such is dead. But, hey, I'm not glad anybody's dead, especially if they died lost. I know where they go now. I've seen the descriptions of that place. That doesn't make anybody happy to see that, but if your tears are dried up, there might be something why. Somebody might have bit some of your feeling out. If sin abounds in your mouth because you put too much sin in your heart, that's a telltale sign you've been biting too much, been eating it too much, eating at your fellow Christian, eating at your fellow brother and sister, eating at you and all this other stuff. If maybe if you look how far you strayed just because of the gossip in your own life, imagine how far the rest of us got with the gossip in ours. See, this thing is deceived. That's the word. You know why? Because the devil will make you feel comfortable talking about people, no matter who they are. He'll try to make it to where you can almost justify it and call it this. It's a prayer request. No, it ain't. It's gossip. He's a liar, and I'm telling you what the truth is. The devil's a liar, and he has so been from the beginning. So says the word of the Lord. If he lies to you about something like that, I wonder what else he's lying about. Is he lying about that lust you got and that laziness and all that stuff we talked about? Is he lying about that and calling it love, baby, love? Hey, is he doing all that? Oh, dear sweetie, listen. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Bible believer. Where's your tithes at, Bible believer? Got a bunch of non-tithing people sitting right here. I don't want nobody to say amen. Listen to me. They say, I believe the Bible. Where are your tithes at? You ever heard that term, put your money where your mouth is? Put your money where your mouth is. Yeah. Listen, if we had a gunman walking this door and he happened to get by our handsome security guard back there, and he come in here and stuck that gun in your face and said, do you believe God? If you told him yes, he said, let me see your tithing record. What would you tell him then? He'd say, you don't believe God. Isn't that something? Hey, we got to take this thing in consideration. This is words of war. The enemy will try to deceive you and get you running the wrong way while they're running behind you and picking you off. I read something one time about the whole armor of God in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6. I read that thing. We've got the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. But there's nothing back here. You know where the devil tried to get us at? Right there. There's no armor back there. But wait a minute, that's my brethren back there. Exactly. He'll try to deceive you and get you back there doing his work for him. We give the devil way too much credit. He's the tempter and the liar. He's not the one that does all that. You are. Say, well now, you know a Christian can't be devil possessed. Do you know what possession means? Those of you that's been raised on TV, you think possession is this. That ain't possession. That's Hollywood. Yeah. Possession means... Whose book is this? It's the church's book. Whose is it right now? I'm possessing it. It may belong to the church, but I currently have hold of it. You better be careful how you think the devil can't get you to do things because he can. Yeah. He's a deceiver. Jesus said the truth ain't in him and he'll deceive you and get you to doing things for him that you thought you would never do. He'll get you to attack the very people that pray for you. How's he do that? By deception, honey, by deception. Be careful that you don't bite and devour one another. Be careful about that thing. Who's behind it? Oh, the one that told you it was a prayer request, the devil, him. Don't get caught up in that type of thing. These are words of war. He's attacking you. He wants you defeated, dead, out of the way, neutralized, and not effective for the kingdom of God, not effective for the service of God, not effective to spread the gospel or anything like that. And that's how he does it right there. He gets you to take what you've received and use that as a cage in the flesh. Gets you to take what you believed and stop practicing it. And then he takes and deceives you by getting you to do things from the inside that he could never get done, but he can get you to do them for him. When they send out spies to those camps, you know what they look like? That army. That very army that come out. They'd send in those spies and they'd come in, they'd look like us, talk like us, walk like us. And back then they didn't have the internet to check out their ID number. Here's old Soldier Jones. You look kind of Japanese. No, I'm Hawaiian. You're short like one of them. You got black hair like one of them. And your eyes kind of, you got that orient. No, I'm from Hawaii. We all look like that in Hawaii. That's what they say. And he comes in there and said, what was you with? Well, my whole battalion got wiped out. Here's my dog tags. Again, they didn't have no internet to look him up on. Bombs are dropping. They got to get to fighting and all this other stuff. And he notices when they blow that certain call, they go this way, they do this. He starts picking up what's going on. One day, Officer Jones disappears. He was never Officer Jones. He was Officer Fujinami or whatever his real name was. He went back and said, this is how they're doing it. This is how they're doing it. We got another assignment for you. We're going to send you back. Except this time when you're going to camp, just criticize the commanding officer and get the men to turn on him. How am I going to do that? Just place little doubts here and there. I don't like the way Sarge said this. I don't like the way Sarge did that. If we can get them to turn on their leader, they'll mutiny and we'll get all of them. If we can't get them to run the opposite way, we'll do this and this will work just as good. Do you know our soldiers got a hold of that truth, what I just told you, and they said, you know what, we got to find some way to defeat that. There's got to be some way we can beat that. And they found out something. They found out that the Orientals can't say a certain letter. They say it wrong when they say it. They don't have that clear command of the English language. They make every L an R when they pronounce it. One day, one of our soldiers was captured by the Japanese Navy. And he found a way off that ship one day when his captors wasn't looking. He dove off that ship, thought, I'd rather die in the ocean than die in here being tortured. As he swam, he saw a little island out there. He swam for it. He didn't know what that island was. He just knew it was away from them. And he got out there and said, I'll just live on this island, you know, grow my hair out, my beard out, and have my clothes looking raggedy. I'll do that before I ever, ever die for them. Then one day he heard some movement in the bushes. He thought, oh, no, there's their army's back. And he got to looking and spying on him. He noticed something. That was the American Army. That's setting up a base. Hey, the good guys are here. So he walks out of that jungle one day, all, you know, homeless looking, everything, hair all messed up, clothes all nasty, dirty. And two armed guards said, halt! They pointed their weapons at him. He said, I'm soldier such and such. My ID number's whatever it was. And they said, well, we don't have an internet to look that up on it. Al Gore's not invented it yet. He said, I don't know what an internet is, but I know this. I'm with you. Can you please take me in? They said, halt or we'll shoot. That's our orders. What's the password if you want in? And he just fell down crying and said, men, please shoot me. He said, I'd rather die than go back in that jungle the way I was or go back to the captivity I was in. I would rather die. I'd rather you just shoot me. He said, and now watch this. He said, because I've been redeemed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't have to worry about where I'm going when I die. I'm just tired of where I'm at. They both stood at attention, held those arms up, and said, you may pass, sir. Why? The password was blood. They knew if he had been of the other origin, he'd have said, blood. They found a way to fix that thing. Hey, let me tell you something today. The war you and I are in, we get to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. When they preach some other way, it's because they're a thief and a robber and the truth is not in them. Today, while we're here, we are at war. Our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is who? The devil. Get your enemy right and get your team right, because if not, you're going to eat yourself alive. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. And Lord, while we're here, we pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in our hearts. And God, help us to be followers of you and to be part of what you're doing. Lord God, while we've got time, help us.